I'd like to say it's good to be here this morning. Good to be back at Mountain View. Y'all know how I feel about y'all. I consider this, I guess, a second home, I guess, to Stoners. I appreciate it. We love each and every one of y'all very much. And Brother Randy's exactly right. A lot of times a preacher relies on the congregation more than y'all know. Probably a lot more than you know. And I didn't have a title, I guess, for what I planned on preaching, but I reckon I'm going to call it Lift It Up and Spread It Round. So I appreciate that. But I appreciate what Susan said, because I'll be honest with you, I was pretty torn. I had two different messages, and one was about don't look back, and the other one's what I'm going to try to preach on. But I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that a lot here lately, about what she was talking about, and she couldn't have been more true. It's okay to look back. It's not okay to live in the past. There's a big difference in looking back and living in the past. When you live in the past, you can't enjoy the present nor the future. There's a lot of people holding a lot of things against other people, and worst of all, their own selves, and they can't move on with even the Lord. They've got grudges in their heart. They've grown cold and indifferent. They've gotten to such a place they forgot how good it felt to be in God's will. That's true. I promise it is. That's a scary place to be. And if you're in that place today, He'll take out that stony heart and put in that of a heart of flesh. Now, we preach against the flesh all the time, but that's not what He's saying. A heart of flesh means you can feel some things. That means you can experience some things. You can feel hurt. You can feel joy. You can feel sorrow. You can feel happiness. You can feel all those things, not with a stony heart. There's many people that's gotten a stony heart even after they've been saved. I ain't talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about forgetting what joy felt like. There's a lot of people that spent a lot of time away from God and felt how they forgot how good God felt. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're in that condition this morning, I can't open an altar and I can't close an altar. This thing's always open. Nobody roped it off. Nobody opened it up. If you need to come, you come whenever you need to. But I beg you come when you need to. Because when you want to, it may not be when you need to. And when you need to, it may not be when you get to. So I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you've felt how good God was at one time and you ain't felt it in a long time, why not? Why not today? What's holding you back? That ain't what we're going to preach on, but that's just truth. It is. I don't know. I kind of could see that whole message, and I can't see this one, but this is one we feel like we're supposed to preach. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll just tell you a little bit about what's in this scripture. I don't have any kind of great life application for you, I don't think, this morning. This may just be historical context for you, but nonetheless, it's the Bible, so that's all I know is just to preach what I've got. I normally don't read a whole chapter, but I'm going to read a whole chapter because I feel like it's expedient. I kind of thought this morning I'd either read the whole chapter or not read it all. I don't know. I guess I got to thinking about, I've been thinking about Paul a lot lately, and I know that's popular preaching. It is, and maybe I'll preach a popular message that a lot of people have preached before, but nonetheless, you ever notice that the same message can be preached a lot, but it finally hits somebody that's supposed to hit? You ever recognize that God deals with people on His time and not ours? We really want them kids to get saved when they, you know, as soon as they have that opportunity, and they might not, but they might go when God tells them to go. We want a lot of things to happen, and you know what man's done a lot of times with religion? You can look all throughout history. We've messed it up. We have. We've messed up what God intended. I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about Mountain View. That's not what I'm saying. But all the way through, all the way back, because we branched off of Judaism when we got grafted in, when that salvation came. But Judaism all the way back, they even got led into the hands of the Philistines by God Himself for going off the wrong track. A lot of times when we think we've heard God and we're going to do exactly what God has, we usually put a little bit of ourself in it and usually mess it up. You ever notice when we just let God be God, that's when things happen? You ever notice when we just have them good breakout services, that's the ones everybody enjoys. Everybody loves to hear good preaching. They really do. I love to hear good preaching, but I love to hear the church preach more than anybody. The church is the best preacher I've ever heard preach. I'm going to be honest with you. That's my favorite preacher. When the can't help it's come and the I ain't felt that in a long time. I'm thankful that it's came by my way again. Those are my favorite services. I'm going to be honest with you. The ones that are so peculiar that you wish you had every Sunday, but you just can't. Most of the time it's because we ain't willing to. Most of the time because we came and hope the preacher's got that good message going to really stir our heart. But boy, if we'd bring something with us, we'd enjoy service a whole lot more. I say this all the time. The best part about Christianity, unlike even other denominations in the Christian faith, the Baptist faith is not a spectator sport. Do you know that? It's a participation. You get to take part in it. You get to enjoy it. You get to go along with the preacher because you know exactly what he's talking about because you got the same thing. Yeah. I'm not going to stand up here and read out of this Bible out of Latin, nor do I know Latin anyways. So you can't understand it, so I look high and lift it up. But you get to enjoy the same things I'm talking about here this morning. Thank God for that. We ought to be thankful. You know we're the only religion serving a living God? Amen. All the other ones died. They got tombs. They do. Amen. Christianity's the only one that believes that that tomb is empty because our Savior has risen. I don't know. We're going to lift it up and spread it around, I guess, is what we're going to do this morning. I guess that's our title. But I was thinking about Paul and I was thinking about his life, and it's extraordinary when you think about it. It really is. I mean, he wrote probably 3/4 of this entire New Testament that we base this entire thing off of. One man wrote all those scriptures. But that man didn't start that way. That man ended up that way. And you know what happened to him? He got lifted up and decided to spread it around. That's exactly what he did. And I've told it, and I might have told it here. I tell it every time I even preach about Paul or even think about Paul. What a different character he was throughout the Scripture in the New Testament. When they talk about him, he was a Roman citizen. Now, if you don't know anything about Bible history, that's important for this New Testament. Rome conquered the entire area in Jerusalem that all of these scriptures written about was under Roman, I guess you could say, not enslavement, but under Roman power. Under the entire Roman Empire. We see that Pilate was there in the city in Jerusalem when they bring Jesus. They had a prefect. They had a Roman ruler over each and every one of these major towns to make sure they towed the line. You gave what? You gave to Caesar. You gave to Rome. You paid tribute to it. And you respected Rome. That was the Roman Empire. So it's important. So we know that Paul was a citizen of that country, of Rome. He was a Roman citizen. But now we also see, and it's not as peculiar, but this man was also a Jew. So not only was he Roman, and that's like I said, that's not something that we read. I don't know anybody else through here until somebody finally becomes a Roman and becomes a Christian. But I don't read of any more Romans that were also Jewish and now going to become a Christian. That's important, it is, so we understand who Paul was. I'm going to do a brief overview of Paul real quick before we get into Scripture. But as Paul went through his life and he was schooled in the law and he went through the law and he started to learn it all the way to every jot and every tittle all the way through, he believed in the law. He did. He was a big proponent of making sure the law stayed exactly what it was supposed to. But yet through his life, we know Christianity started coming through. And as Christianity started coming through, Paul developed a hatred. We know that he does because he started enslaving Christians. He started persecuting Christians. And we know that he went directly to the high priest and those inside the temple and took letters from them that were going to Damascus to let everybody know in Damascus, if you're a Christian, you're on watch. We're going to enslave you. We're going to stomp this thing out. And we're going to come after you. Now, this ain't a surprise here. It's not a spoiler alert. We know that Paul gets on with a few men and they headed on that road to Damascus. And we know there's a great light that shined, took him off his horse or whatever it was and blinded him. They said as if scales on his eyes a little bit down the road when Emmaus comes to him. Or Ananias, I believe. We know that God speaks to him and he hears the voice and he tells him, he said, Paul, is it not hard to kick against the pricks? And as he speaks to him, we know Paul's heart stirred, and we know that he's taken to a town just a little bit down the road. And we know that he tells Ananias there, go and speak to this man, pray with this man, whatever it is. I'm misquoting it, but that's what he did. He went to him. He said, I've heard of these things of Paul. He's the one persecuting Christians. I can't go over there. And we know that Ananias goes anyways and touches him and the scales fall off his eyes. And I appreciate this because when Paul did this, I preached one time that after 20 verses after that happens in the book of Acts, you know what it says? It said Paul straightway preached unto them Jesus. In less than 20 verses, that's what he did. Now, he was a Roman citizen. Now, they didn't believe in God. They were polytheists. That means that they had many, many gods. Gods of the sun, gods of war, gods of all these different things. So not only did that part of his Roman citizenship go against what he was about to do, but yet he was also a Jew. We know what they believed, only in God. They believed this Jesus that came. I read the other day, and I appreciate the way they laid this out. You ever thought about this? The way the Romans and Jews looked at him, he was a crucified criminal. You ever thought about that? That's what they looked at Jesus as. How could these people continue to follow a crucified criminal? How could they follow this man that blasphemed against and was put to death for what he believed, and yet they're still following him? One really, really smart Jew said one time, he said, if this be of God, there's no point in going after it in the first place. If it's of God, there's nothing we can stop. If it's of God, it's of God. That's probably about the smartest Jew that I read in this entire scripture. He just said, if it's of God, then this Jesus is who he says he is. And if he's not, then it'll fall by the wayside. Thank God we're here today, ain't we? I guess it didn't fall by the wayside. I guess this thing was sin of God. But we know that Paul went out and started preaching. That's exactly what I was going to read to you today. I don't know if I'm going to read or not. I feel pretty good now. But in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, there's some things that happens. And I want to bring something to you, some good news. I've been thinking a lot about one size fits all. I don't know. Maybe that was the title. I don't know. But we're going to lift it up and spread it anyways. But this thing that he's talking about, I love how God lifted this man up and prepared this man to do a great work. Most of all, appreciate that Paul was willing to go all the way. Did you know they even told Paul what was going to happen if he followed him? He even told him. He said, if you follow me, you're going to follow in some great tribulation. Your name's not going to be high and lifted up in the stars. Everybody's not going to remember you as this great saint. People are going to hate you for what you're going to do. They're going to hate you for what you preach. And they're probably going to put you to death. He said the same thing that Samuel said. Here am I. Here am I. Sure, I bet Paul was a little bit worried about what his friends and family was going to say about him, but there's some things that happen between you and God that you don't much care about the way the world looks at you anymore. I'm just going to be honest with you. I got to preach what I got to preach. I got to live what I'm supposed to live. And most of all, I got to lay my head on my pillow at night knowing that I'm trying to compare myself against this word, not this world. Amen. But we know that Paul comes here. Now, he's told in chapter number 16, verse number 9, he said he was woken up in the middle of the night and to go into Macedonia. So what Paul used to do is whenever he was tasked to go to a certain area, the first thing he did was went to one of the largest cities. He went to that of Philippi. Now, this is in the book of Acts. I didn't read that in Philippians. Yeah, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. We got a book of Philippians, thank God. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Spoiler alert, he went to Philippi, preached unto them Jesus, and they had a church, thank God. Amen. Now, chapter number 17 here, as he starts to go through, he's still traveling here. He'd already done some preaching there in 16 to Philippi. Then he comes to them, and he said he passed through Amphipolis and Polyonia. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, this is what I wanted to kind of get to, and this may not mean anything to you, but it sure blessed me. I appreciate that God deals with each and every one of us individually. I appreciate that God speaks to us the way we're supposed to be spoken to. Yeah, I believe that. I really do. When I was in the military, I had leaders over me that was going to hammer every nail, and I didn't follow them as good. But the ones that gave me my little pat on the back every now and then, and they took me by the side, and they were servant leaders, and they showed me how to do things, I'd follow that man. God speaks to you the way He's supposed to speak to you. Yeah. Yeah, he does. Might be in the car ride on the way home. Might be in the middle of the night. He might wake you up. It might be this morning at Mountain View Baptist Church in September of 2023. He may speak to you this morning, thank God. And I hope he does. But when he would go to these synagogues, just like he did here, he travels to three different places in chapter number 17. Now, I don't know how I'm going to preach this or why I've even got to preach it, but we're going to do our best. But he goes to three different places. Now, the first two he goes are to Jewish synagogues. He travels to one city and he goes to that synagogue. He preaches unto them, and listen to what it says about him. He said, "I preach unto you is Christ." Now, here's the sad part, and maybe this is some application today. You know what happened after that? I'd love to tell you it said, "And all of them believed and repented for their sins." You know what it says though? "And some of them believed." And some of them believed. Randy preached a message one time over at Emmanuel. It was titled, "Not All." Not all. Not all are going to heaven. They're not. Not all. Is that God's fault? Did he not make a way for us? Did he not absolutely pave a way for us in that plan of redemption that he gave us all the way from the fall of man, all the way to the pick me up and spread them of men? He made a way for us. He did. Is that what you're saying, Susan? He made a way for us? Isaac and them sing a song of the inspirations, just like old Daniel in that hungry lion's den. Just like old Moses standing there beside the shore, he made a way for me. Thank God for that today. We ought to be happy about that. He's made a way for you today, but you're going to have to get up from where you are and walk down that path that he made for you. But Paul, he came and preached to this first one. Now this is what I appreciate. When he came to this one and he preached unto them, we can see that about all men are about the same the way we do things. He's preached unto them and some of them believed, but the ones who didn't, they got mad. They got in an uproar. They went and got everybody else. Said they went to the house of Jason. I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what that's even talking about. Brother Randy may be able to straighten that out. I don't even know what he's talking about with all that, but we know that he went to the house of Jason, went there intentions to try to stomp this thing out. Those Judaizers, every time Paul would preach, somebody was coming behind them going, "No, no, no, don't go that way. Turn and look back, Sister Susan. Ain't that what you talked about?" They said, "Turn and go back to the old ways." But they were trying to tell him, "Did not your fathers also die in the wilderness, eating manna from heaven? But this bread I'm talking about is of life." Ain't that what he said? He said, "I am that bread." I believe that's what he said. But after he goes there and he preached unto you Christ and some of them believed, you know what the other ones did? They moved with envy. I'm not misquoting that. I just read it. That's what it says. It says, "But the Jews which believed not moved with envy." You ever been envious of something? They were envious. I'm going to tell you what they were envious of. The joy and freedom that comes being in Christ. Yeah, they didn't have the burden anymore. They didn't have those things anymore. The law brought nothing but death. It did not bring life. It was important for the time that it was given, but it wasn't to get them all the way there. But thank God he made a way. Yeah. That way that I'm talking about, it's time we pick it up and spread it around. Now he goes to another town right after that. Guess what? Same thing happens. Comes into the synagogue. And when he preached unto them Jews, you know what he did? He preached straight out of the Old Testament. He grabbed scriptures to talk to them. But when he went to Gentiles, he preached application to them. They didn't know the Jewish scriptures. It was pointless to preach those to him. But they continued every time he'd go in. Every time it says it, it does. It says right here, I'm not making this up. It tells them that he preached unto them scriptures. He said in verse number 2 of that same chapter, "And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures." That means he opened up scrolls and preached unto them what they already knew, but to show that Jesus was who he says that he was. You can't do that to the Gentiles. They didn't understand those things. They didn't have knowledge of the law. That's how God speaks to us in the way we're supposed to. He didn't change the gospel message. He just delivered it in a different way, thank God. So he comes to him to that second place there. After he leaves, he comes to him in Berea. And he says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now listen to what happened. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Y'all ever heard of the book of Thessalonians? There was a church planted there. The man went and preached unto them Jesus. People believed. And thank God they continued in that way. What if we gave up? What if we folded up shop? I'll be honest with you. I see a lot of Christians that has today. I see a lot of preachers that have, Brother Randy. They're walking around with their head down, kicking the can down the road like they've been defeated. But yet we sing songs out of that book that says victory has been won. If it's already been won, we've already got the trophy, thank God. We've already got what God intended for us. I'm not waiting one day till I get to heaven to receive that crown. Thank God He established that kingdom in our heart. Not built with hands. He went to them and He preached unto them. Listen to what they did. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now that's important, folks. There's a lot of preachers that get up and preach things that ain't out of that Bible. And you shouldn't believe everything comes out of a preacher's mouth. That may hurt somebody's feelings, but you better not believe everything that comes out of a preacher's mouth. I've heard them get in the flesh. I've said things before when I first started preaching that I don't even believe now. Shame on you, Landon. Well, you know what? I had to do a little studying. And I apologize for that. But I'm also not going to apologize that God lets me see some things a little further down the road. Open my eyes a little bit. He said here, right after that, he said, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also. They followed him to Berea and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go away, it were to sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed they departed. Every time he went out and preached the gospel, there they came right behind. They came right behind. Don't believe me? Look at even John the Baptist. Starts baptizing folks. Now, that's not the first person to ever been baptized. They used to do baptisms, but not the way that this was taking place. Not that the Messiah had come. Not that there was one coming. Not one that I'm not worthy to latch his shoes. They had done some baptism on their own. They would, whenever Passover took place, they'd come to a pool there, and I don't remember exactly what it's called, but they'd come to a pool and they'd dunk themselves down and put on new clothes before they even went into Jerusalem. It wasn't unorthodox that a person went down underwater and came back up trying to look at that cleanliness and newness, but it wasn't the same way we're talking about baptism. But there was Jews that stood up on the top and mocked and murmured and talked to themselves. What are they doing? What is he talking about? He's saying the Messiah has come. And yet there comes Jesus making a way. He said, baptize me. I'm not worthy to baptize you. What are you talking about? This was even his cousin. He wasn't baptizing his cousin when he grabbed a hold of him and put him down. He might have been 100% flesh, but he was 100% God. But we know that he baptized him there, and we know the Jews and them were up on the top and they were mocking and murmuring. So after they go here, this is important. Now I know all of y'all have seen great war movies about the Greeks. About in Sparta and the movie 300. And I ain't preaching secular movies, calm down. But what I am saying is we've all seen those big war movies. Seen how they trusted Apollos, the sun god, and the god of war and all those different ones. Now that's important for what I'm about to say. Because the next place he went was Athens. Wasn't in Georgia. But they went to Athens there in Greece, one of the largest cities. Now, they had something there that's important, and I'm not saying I knew about this. I had to go read what it was. Don't think I'm trying to act like I'm smart. I didn't know what this was. But it says, now while Paul went for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. But I didn't know what this was, so don't think I'm trying to act smart. But there's a part in here that talks about in verse 19, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine wherefore thou speakest. I didn't know what Areopagus is. I'm not trying to act smart. I had to go look it up. But I'm going to tell you what it was. It was an area and a meeting area where all of those gods, where all of the guys in that city, I guess you would say, great philosophers, great religious men, they would all come and meet in this Areopagus is what they called it. It was a meeting area where hundreds of philosophers and then would come and they would debate doctrine and law and religion. Now they brought Paul there. You know what Paul preached unto them? Was it philosophy? Was it the law? He preached Christ and Him crucified. He actually preached on the resurrection. Boy, that'll make some Baptists uncomfortable. He preached on the resurrection, thank God. Did you know this? If you took out the resurrection, we could throw the whole Bible away and go home because it wouldn't mean nothing to us to be a Christian. Amen. You know, if they hung him on a cross and put him in a tomb and that was the end of the story, you know what we could do? Fold our Bibles, go home and be a most men most miserable. The resurrection is the only part of that entire Bible is the purpose of why we can sing all my hopes in Jesus. Thank God for all He's done for me. Thank You for making a way. Thank You for saving me. I believe 1 Corinthians even preaches that if the resurrection did not take place, that our preaching is in vain. Our whole existence as a Christian is in vain, if not for the resurrection. So He didn't go in there and preach unto them, make sure you keep the Sabbath holy. He didn't go to the Gentiles and say, make sure you bring your best sacrifice once a year. Make sure you're observing the Passover. Any of y'all want to take a Nazarite vow? You want to shave your head and not eat grapes? He came in there and preached unto them Christ. Christ. There was tons of people that believed on that. You know why? Because they were serving false idols. It said they were given unto idolatry. They even had a plaque of one time, and I don't remember the name of the person, but they had a plaque there at Areopagus. I believe it was up there at the top. And on the side of it, it was inscribed and it said, to the unknown God. He even mentions that and said, I'm going to tell you who the unknown God is. Now we may scoff at that and laugh at that and say, well, that was thousands of years ago. There's people sitting right here in Mountain View Baptist Church in Chatsworth, Georgia, that has an unknown God. They've never met Him before. You know this? You can have Jesus on your lips and still split hell wide open. You know, you can still have Jesus in your mind. You can say His name. You can sing the songs. But if He's not in your heart and hasn't made a change in that newness, in that new day that y'all were singing about, y'all sang about it, I didn't. Y'all picked the song. But in that newness, in that new day, thank God for that. Y'all even sang, I leaned over to Brother Randy and thought, they said that Satan had to flee. But Sister So-and-so will stand up and say how the devil's been on her all week. But we sang that Satan had to flee. When Jesus rescued me, you know what He did for me, Brother Jeff? He made me a new man today. I believe also in 1 Corinthians, He said that all things had passed away. And all things had passed away. And all, thank God, all things became new. Did you look different when you got saved? Did you have different clothes on? I sure didn't, but I had a different facial expression, I can tell you that. I went from tears, I went from frowning, just like the kids sang up here, it went from sadness to a smile on my face. Because a change had happened in my heart. You can sing about Jesus, you can talk about Jesus, you can dress up, tuck your shirt in, look like everybody else. But if you don't have what they have on the inside, it's pointless. Just like if the resurrection didn't take place, we're sitting here in vain, Brother Steve. That's you know
right.
that?
That's right.
But thank God it is a real thing. Amen. Thank God it did happen. Thank God it can happen for you today.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher preach not too long ago, and I ain't putting off on people. I heard a preacher get up and preach not too long ago. It was at a funeral, as a matter of fact. They said on whatever morning it was that man died, he said that man was finally redeemed. On Tuesday morning, whatever it was, when the man passed away, he said that man was finally redeemed. That's not when I'm going to be redeemed. That's not when my redemption's going to come. I'm not waiting to be judged. I was judged. I was found guilty in the courtroom. Yeah, we know the song. When mercy walked in and pleaded my case. That's not for when you pass away. Most people, I'm going to be honest with you, are so sad as Christians because they don't even realize what they've got today.
Amen.
Most people are sad and doom and gloom walking down the road kicking the can because they think until they take their last breath, it's finally when they'll get to experience a little bit of glory of God. I'm going to tell you something today. If old things passed away and all things became new when I got in Him, boy, I can experience them today. Thank God for that. I can have a relationship with Him. How can people get up and preach that you can have a relationship with Christ, but you can't experience Him till you're finally redeemed? That means you're living in oldness. That means all things are still the same and nothing has become new.
That's right.
But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible said that old things passed away and all things became new. Paul came in there and preached unto them Jesus. You know, every time somebody reared back and just preached Jesus, something good happened in this Bible. I read about a eunuch that was on his way just reading Isaiah, trying to figure out what it was. Philip got done preaching to a whole city, stirring hearts, getting them where they need to be, telling them about Christ. And as he comes out, there's just one man sitting there on a little chariot all by himself reading Isaiah chapter, I believe, 53. But he starts reading it to him and he don't know what he's saying. I don't understand these things. I'm just a simple old eunuch. Boy, I was a simple old little country boy. Thought I had it all figured out. Thought I had the tiger by the tail. But one day, this man named Jesus passed by, just like old Philip was. He come by that chariot. He said, go and attach yourself to that chariot, is what God told him. And I bet Philip probably thought in the flesh, boy, I just got done preaching in that city. Should have seen all the people. Yeah. Sure, I'm going to be honest with you. It does feel good whenever you get to go to meeting with a lot of people. But it's also, I've had some good meetings going to churches where there's 4 or 5 people. I'm going to be honest with you. But I bet Philip kind of thought, boy, God, did you not see what all I did for you? Did you not see what I just did in the great city? Now you want me to go to this one little eunuch over here by this chariot. That ever happened in your life? You ever thought, God, not now. God, that's not for me. Let somebody else do it. I don't really have time. I'm real busy. I'm not prepared. I'm not where I need to be. You know what Philip did? He just went and attached himself. Attached himself to it. Made himself readily available. You know what that eunuch said? He said, I'm trying. I'm reading. But I don't understand it. And how could I let some man explain this to me? So we got there. And Paul reared back and preached sacrificing perfect lambs. He preached, make sure to keep the Sabbath holy. He preached, make sure you follow the law every jot and tittle. That ain't what he preached. None of those. You know what he did? He reared back and he preached unto him Jesus. I don't know if y'all know this, but that still works today. That still works today, thank God. There's power in that name. We ought to put some respect with that name. We ought to come to a realization that he's our all in all. We've got nothing without him, church, thank God. And if you don't have nothing today, you can get everything. Amen. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Most of y'all know my testimony, and I ain't going to give a whole thing because I don't feel expedient to. But I'm going to tell you something. I was a sinner saved by grace. And I probably sinned more than anybody in this whole church. I drank, cussed, did the drugs I wanted to, went to the parties I wanted to, and did what Landon Hamby wanted to. You know what I found myself in? Trials, tribulation, and sorrow without a hope. But then one night, it wasn't a preacher, but Jesus came by and preached Jesus unto me. And he let me know how real he was. And he let me know how wrong that I was. Did it feel good at the time? It sure did not, Brother Jeff. It didn't feel good at all. But by the time I hit my knees and the tears stopped flowing, there was a newness about me. There was a burden that had been lifted from me. Did he not say that his burden would be light? He said his burden would be light. Now, it gets hard for man sometimes, but he said his burden would be light. I tried to preach to you Acts chapter number 17. I don't know. Lift it up and spread it around, I guess. But that's what Paul did his very best to do. I preached about him because he reminds me of me. And I ain't nothing to Paul. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't write these great words. I didn't do these great things. I didn't preach these great messages. But I'm trying to do the same thing Paul did. Preach unto you Jesus. And you know what? Most of all, him crucified. And even better, him resurrected. We like to preach. We do. I know the Bible says Christ and him crucified. But I like to preach Christ and him resurrected. That's the most important part. You say, well, tell me about this resurrection. I will. Hold on. I'm going to tell you what resurrection is really, really important for you this morning. Now, Jesus was already resurrected. We know that. He went down and defeated death, hell, and the grave, rose on the third day. There was over 500 and something people that saw him after that. There's a lot of people that say that that wasn't true and that didn't happen. There was over 500 people that saw Jesus before he went to that Mount of Transfiguration and went up unto heaven. That sounds pretty good to me. But I'm going to tell you what resurrection is real important to each and every one of us today. The one that takes place right here. Preacher, I won't have that. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. If you're dead in your sins and trespasses, the only way you can be made alive again is to be that of resurrected. I've been resurrected, Brother Randy. The true important resurrection that that Word of God is talking about is about you realizing the condition you're in, realizing that you're a sinner lost without God, and that there's no way you're going to get to heaven except going through Him. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. The only way you can be made alive to walk that, get down on your hands and knees, and it don't have to happen here, but it would help a lot of people if it was. Come down, get on your hands and knees, beg out into an almighty God. There's not a prayer you can say that's perfect. There's not a card you're going to sign. Brother Randy's not taking the Romans road and stopping you and showing you how lost you are. But you're going to have to come because it's between you and God. You're going to have to come. Every single one of us is going to have to if you're going to go to heaven. I'm just going to be honest with you. Or if you're going to start experiencing heaven, I must say. You'll have to get up from where you are. Realize the condition you're in. Cry out to an almighty God. I'm not going to give you, there's a whole bunch of conditions. You got to meet this. You're going to be white knuckled. Your heart's going to be out of your chest. It may not be like that. God may just whisper to you, go! And that may be all you get. But you know the important part is when He speaks, listen. And when you understand it, move upon it. That's the most important advice I could probably give anybody. I don't think I've ever said that before, but that's pretty good advice. Thank you, Lord. When He speaks to you, listen, and when you understand it, go. And once you get saved, don't sit down. Don't sit down. You know why? Because there's other people in Mountain View Baptist Church that need you. There's other people in Chatsworth, Georgia that need you. There's other churches around the community that need you. And most of all, the lost need you. They need you. The lost need something to look upon and know that it's authentic and real. And the only way we can do that is get as much like Him and less like ourselves. That's what I want to be when I want to preach. I want to be so hidden behind the cross, nobody even sees anything I even said. Nobody even remembers that I came and preached, but maybe something that God sent them. I'm absolutely nothing. He's absolutely everything. That's what I come to tell you this morning. Now it's start time that we realize how good God is and how faulty we are. Let's not do what we think is best and do what God intended for us to do. That's why the Jews went off track. They didn't want the Messiah because they had a pretty good thing going. They had 500 years of darkness, as they call it, 500 years of not hearing from God. And in that 500 years... I've said this the last two times I preached, but I don't know. The Lord gave it to me. I'm going to say it again. You know when Jesus went to the temple for that first time that I know of when He was about 30-something years old, not when He was younger and went for Passover, but when He came when He was about 30-something years old and He came in there, He didn't say, good job, boys. Y'all kept my Father's word clear and clean. He didn't say, good job, boys. Looks like y'all really been studying in them Scriptures. He flipped the tables over. He said, you've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. Boy, we want to knock off on the Jews. We've done it in our own churches a lot of times. Yeah, we've got our own selves in our way. It's time we just get back to what that word says. And it says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what His word says. You know what that means? It don't matter how drunk you got last night. Don't matter. You ain't got to get clean and sober off them drugs. You ain't got to be so ashamed of that divorce. You ain't got to be all upset about the way you was talking at work this week. Do you know that He just wants you as you are right now today? He just wants you. That's all He's ever wanted. Did you know that? He's only ever wanted man to just have fellowship with Him. Started in the garden, preached about it in the book of Revelation. That's called a bookend. For 66 books, He preached a love story about how man messed up and He made a way for you to get back to Him. Did you know that? That's all the Bible's about. If you don't ever read another word, that's what it's about. I'll give you the cliff notes. It was a love story. He intended for man to get out of their fallen state and get back to Him. Did you know the Jews didn't even believe that? Not even that they didn't believe that Jesus was who He says He was. Most of them didn't even believe that. There was four different categories of Jews. There was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. The Zealots started all the rebellions of that time. That's how the destruction of 70 AD came. They got everyone riled up, just like they were doing right here. The Essenes were off by themselves, didn't recognize any of the priests that were there in Jerusalem preaching. They only recognized their own priests. But they believed in a heaven and that the Messiah was soon to come. You know, the Sadducees, and I may get these two mixed up, so don't quote me on this. You can go look at it. But the Sadducees didn't even believe that there was a heaven. You know that? That was Jews that were traveling around with the Pharisees. They didn't even agree with each other, but they were sure quick to try to stomp out Christianity. I wanted to paint that picture in your mind because it changed me when I started reading about them. Because I used to think the Jews were just one unified people that all believed the same way. And they were just there to stomp out Christianity. Most of them didn't even agree on what they even read. But they was all four still traveling around together. Boy, if you don't believe the same way as the Baptist church right down the road, let's draw a line in the sand. I won't visit you. I won't be at your revival. And your preachers ain't even men of God. That's how it's gotten to today. Boy, you believe different than me. I won't have nothing to do with you. Not even personally. You believe that way. Shame on us. That we love, what is it? The brethren. He said the whole law hung on two things. What was it? To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thine soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Nobody in there said, if you don't have the same end times belief as me, then you don't have to take part with them. Y'all can amen that. That's okay. I'll throw that in. If we can stand and get a verse of a song. I'm going to challenge each and every one of us today to lift it up and spread it around. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not, let's do that. That's the best part about what mercy is. You know that? You know that His grace was sufficient? You know what that means? It's sufficient. It's good for all matters for men. So do you know what that means? His grace never runs out. His mercy never runs out. So you might have been close with Him once before, and you might not be now. You might have that heart of stone we was talking about at the very beginning. But you know what? His grace is sufficient. Come and get that heart of flesh today. Don't be ashamed of it. Most people don't use this altar anymore because they don't see nobody else use it. You know what that means? They don't see a need for it. But when people get in trouble, people get trials, people get tribulation in their heart and their life, when they use this thing, others know. Boy, that's where I'm supposed to go. You know what they used to do when they had the Ark of the Covenant? It had what was called horns on it. You know when they really needed something, you know what they did? They went and grabbed a hold of the horns of that altar and prayed with all their might. Yeah. They grabbed a hold of it and did everything they could. I ain't saying this to be funny, but when I read that, I thought about Dodge Ram's commercial. It said, "Grab life by the horns." It's about time we got real serious about our walk with God. Real serious with our relationships with God. It's easy for us to say we want to have great revivals. It's easy for us we want to save people. We want to see people saved. But what are we doing to help the church push this thing along? Are we the ones coming out of Egypt in the very back just following what everybody else is doing and hoping we get a blessing along the way maybe? Or are we in the very, very front saying, wow, did you see what Moses just did? Did you hear what Moses and Aaron were talking about up there in the front? You can't hear those things from the back. I ain't talking about where we sit in church. I'm talking about where you stand with God today. Amen. If you took a back seat with God, and that's okay. I'm not beating you down. I'm telling you, you can get up from where you are and get closer to Him. Yeah. Now, you may be in a spot where you just shouted last Sunday and you're as close to God you've ever been in your life. Take another step. Get closer to Him today. You might be in a spot you've never even started on this path that I'm talking about. He made a way, but some people hadn't even got on the way yet. But you know what He made? He made a highway for you. You know what a highway is? It's easy to drive down. Not a lot of bumps. They make sure they keep it nice and paved for you. You can run high speeds up through there. He made a way for you, but you have to be the one to take that step and get on the road. It's time to lift it up and spread it around. The love of Jesus. I don't know the words to that last part, but that's something about it. That's what it's time for us to do. Most people study their Bibles. We're going to sing. I might be rambling now. Most people study their Bibles just to debate it with somebody else. Most people read their Bible just to win an argument that they know this and they know that. I don't read one time where any single one of them said, "Boy, you really got him. Boy, I'm glad you knew a lot. You really put that man in their place." I read where they reared back and preached Jesus. If you don't know about that resurrection today, come take part in it. It won't be in vain, because I promise that preaching that is not in vain. If we'll all stand, sing. And most of all, let's not look around and hope so-and-so goes to the altar. If God speaks to you in whatever manner it is, it's time to come. It's time. Don't put it off. Don't hope it comes again. Don't hope you can just do your very best to get out the back door. I wish he'd be quiet. Hope we only sing one verse. Don't worry about any of those things. It's time, it's time, it's time that we get serious about our walk with God again. Not hope Brother Randy brings a good one. Not hope that Sister So-and-so or Brother Baptist gives that good testimony. But it's time we start living the way we say we're going to live and put some action to it. It's time. It is. They go and sing. I don't know. I can't be quiet.